Good evening and welcome once again on this Wednesday evening to the neighbourhood of Pine Ridge here in Calgary, and especially to Calgary Free Presbyterian Church, and to the third evening of our online gospel outreach. May I bid you welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to just remind you once again that if you want any more information about the ministry here of Calgary Free Presbyterian Church, then please consult our website, which is calgaryfpc.ca, calgaryfpc.ca. And if you'd like to get any more information personally, get in touch with me, get hold of your own copy of the Bible, then you may email me on pastor@calgaryfpc.ca. That's pastor@calgaryfpc.ca. Thank you. Now, the theme of this week's messages is the theme of hope. You've seen the flyer, no doubt, and you've seen the things in the background, maybe, things like the virus, the coronavirus, pandemic, and fear, and things like that, and then an image of the virus itself. But it's all been stamped over, it's all been covered up, it's all been crushed in some way by the word hope. For there is hope in the gospel of Christ. And there is hope that's revealed in many different ways in the person and the work and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're continuing looking at these messages of hope. And on Monday night, we saw the hope that's to be found in the person of Jesus Christ himself, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And we saw yesterday that hope that is found, hope of everlasting life, to be found in Jesus Christ. And this evening, with the Lord's help, we'll see something of the hope of forgiveness through faith. The hope of forgiveness through faith. And before we continue, I'll just ask you to join with me in prayer. And if the singers would also just stop whatever they're doing and just join in with me in prayer, please. Lord, we give thee thanks and praise that we have a gospel to proclaim, that there is good news, that the almighty and infinite, eternal God of heaven and earth, who is ever holy and ever righteous, who sustains all the things that he has made by the word of his power, will be pleased to speak unto us and to come to us in our great need. And the greatest need is that we do not see our great need, and our need of forgiveness of all our sins, to have peace with God, to be seen by God as no longer being wicked, but as being righteous in his sight. O God, may it please thee to have mercy upon us this evening, and to have mercy upon the going forth of thy gospel, thy good news. And Lord, wilt thou send forth thy Spirit to take the word of God and to put it into the minds and the hearts of all who are listening now live as we broadcast, or at a later time, Lord, that thou be pleased to plant that word in their hearts and work faith in their hearts, that they may call upon the name of the Lord, that they may be saved and know that they have forgiveness of sins, know that they have peace with God, know that they are filled with the Spirit of Christ, know that they have a home in heaven, know that they are saved. It is thy work, Lord. We are merely to be faithful and to bring the message of God to them. Glorify thy name. Give unto me all that I need, O God. Help the children with their singing. Help them to minister in song. Take away their nerves. And give unto me the unction of God to preach with power and wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And just before we get to the Bible reading and then the message from the Bible this evening, I'd like to ask our gospel outreach singers to come up and to sing to us hymn, that chorus, "Down at the Cross Where My Saviour Died." Thank you.
my Saviour died. Down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin.
Once again, thank you very much to our gospel outreach singers for that ministry in song once again. I think we all really appreciated that, and we've had some really good comments over the last few nights for their help in singing the gospel. But now we're going to read the words of the gospel from the book of Romans. The book of Romans. That's in the New Testament. And we know that, as we've looked at John in the last few nights, we have the beginning of the New Testament, we have the four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Then we have the book of the history of the early church, is the book of Acts. And then straight after that, we find the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. The book of Romans, and we read a small portion starting at verse 16. Romans 1 and verse 16, please. Please hear the word of God, your Creator, which He speaks to your heart and to your soul this evening. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, to the non-Jew. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath, that is the anger of God, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, a statue made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, for which reason God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonour their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And we will add our amen to Paul's amen at the end of that verse and finish our reading there at verse 25. And so on to this evening's gospel message of hope. The hope that is to be found in forgiveness through faith. The hope that is to be found in the forgiveness of all our sins through faith. There was once a man called Martin, and Martin lived many, many years ago. And Martin wanted to become a monk, and Martin became a monk. And Martin wasn't just your average monk. Martin became the most devoted and hard-working and most serious monk in his monastery. A monastery, a place where monks live. And he was so determined in his work that he would, if he was, for example, he was told to scrub the stone floors in the monastery, that where he had been, you could see that the stone was the cleanest and the shiniest part of the whole floor. Exceptional. He worked hard, he prayed hard, he did all the things that he was asked to do. And you know, the head monk, called an abbot, the head monk got complaints from the other monks that Martin was showing them up. Yeah, they were working hard, but they just weren't as fanatical as Martin was. And so they didn't like the fact that whatever they did, cleaning the garden, fixing things, writing out by hand the copies of the scriptures, whatever things that they had to do, Martin was always there. And Martin wasn't just keen, Martin was double keen and triple keen. And he showed even the best of the others up. But whatever Martin did and was told to do, he did it with all his heart and with all his energy. And why do you think Martin did this? Is it possible, you think, that Martin was trying to win Monk of the Year award? Well, no. Martin was looking for something a lot deeper than that. You know, this man, Martin Luther, was looking to have peace with God. He was looking for peace in his own soul. He wanted to have forgiveness with God. He wanted God to look upon him, having forgiven him of all his sins, and see a righteous Martin. And that was his heart's desire. And Martin, in other words, Martin wanted to be saved. And Martin was looking to God to save him. Now, Martin also started studying the Bible, and he read it, and he studied it, and he tried to understand it. And may I just say to you, that is an excellent example to follow. Not the stone floor scrubbing, but reading and studying the scriptures of God. And that's what Martin began to do. He began to read and to study. And then one day, Martin was reading the book of Romans that we've just read today, or the portion of it that we actually read. And he was reading, and he came to verses 16 and 17. If you have your Bible open in front of you, Romans 1, as we just read, verses 16 and 17 are what he read. And it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein," in other words, for in that gospel of Christ, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." The word "just" there means the righteous. "The righteous shall live by faith." when Martin read these verses, and especially the last phrase there, "The just shall live by faith," his eyes opened wide. His heart began to beat faster. Sweat broke out on his brow. He suddenly realized something. The thing that he'd been looking for all these years, that he'd been scrubbing for, that he'd been praying about, that he'd been doing all these different things. Here was the answer to his great question. Would Martin ever be righteous in God's sight? And he discovered, you know what Martin Luther discovered? He discovered the very heart of the gospel. The very heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He realized then, and he finally understood, as it were, the scales fell from his eyes. He could see for the first time and understand Martin Luther would only ever be forgiven of all his sins by faith. So not by his religion, not by his devotion, not by his scrubbing floors, not by his good works, not by his following rituals. Not by being nice. None of these things. Not even being a good neighbor to other people. But it was only by faith in Jesus Christ. What a relief that was to Martin Luther to realize that by faith in Christ, he could have forgiveness. By faith in Christ, he would have forgiveness of all his sins. And so let us just briefly together see two important things about faith in Jesus Christ. Firstly, faith in Christ is the power of God to save your soul. It says so in verse 16. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." It is God's power unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You see, nothing else, no one else can save your soul. You cannot save your soul. Your best friend cannot save your soul. Your minister, your preacher, your whatever, priest cannot save your soul. Your wishful thinking cannot save your soul. Your mother and your father cannot save your soul. No one on earth can save your soul. Only the gospel, only the Christ of the gospel can save your soul. And verse 16 says that very clearly. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. What is the power of this gospel? What is power that can be seen in the gospel? Well, first of all, that there is a Christ. That the eternal, infinite God performed the miracle of miracles and became man. The God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, God and man. Finite man, small man, and yet infinite and eternal God. There's the power of God to bring Christ to earth. But there's also the power of God that's revealed in the life of Christ. At holy, sinless life. But the power of God that went through him in his teaching, nobody spoke with the authority and power that he had. But the miracles that he wrought, the miracles that he did, nobody had seen so many miracles. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ had his prophets in the Old Testament that would do a few miracles here and there. But when the Lord Jesus Christ walked the earth, the number of miracles, you know, John, who wrote the gospel according to John, says if everything was recorded what the Lord did and preached, it was his miracles and his sermons, says there wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain them all. So we only have a very small amount of this, the intense ministry in 3.5 years of Jesus Christ. So the power of his preaching and the power of his healing. We see also that the power in the cross, because in the cross God was able to take away all the curse and for sin and have the anger, the righteous, holy anger for sin, all taken up in the cross of Christ. The power of the God-man to pay for somebody else's sin. You can't even pay for your own sin. And yet Christ is the power of God to pay for others' sin and to take the whole wrath of the eternal and infinite Almighty God's wrath, righteous anger against sin. But there's also power in the grave of Christ. See, Christ truly died. He had to, because he had to pay the full price for the sins of his people. And so he went down to the grave. And yet, not only had he conquered sin, not only had he conquered unrighteousness by living a righteous life, not only had he taken up all the wrath of God that was due to his people, but he conquered death, he conquered the grave, and he rose again on the third day. There's also the power of the Spirit of God. The power of the Spirit of God that takes all that power of Christ in the gospel, that takes all those things that we've seen that Christ did in his life and in his death and in his rising from the dead, and he takes it and he comes into the sinner's heart and does something that the sinner initially does not want. The sinner does not want to repent of his sin and believe on Jesus Christ, because they enjoy their sin and they're self-righteous and do not need the righteousness of Christ, they think, because they're blind. And yet the Spirit comes and opens their eyes, as he did with Martin Luther, we just read. Through the scriptures of Romans 1, verse 17, Martin's eyes was opened and his heart was set on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he became a saved man. And that's what the power of the Holy Ghost, to take the gospel of Christ and to make it real and to make it desirable to sinners, to change a sin-dead heart into a heart that beats with love for the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you get this power, you might ask? This power of God unto salvation. How do you get some of this power? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There we go. How do we get this power? By faith. By faith. Not any old faith. Not any old faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Because here we're talking about the gospel of Christ. Not anybody else's false gospel. Not a cult's false gospel. Not another religion's false understanding of Jesus Christ. Or their own way and their own prophets. No. Only the God-man. Only the gospel, the good news of the God-man, Jesus Christ. You know, for an electric car to get power, you have to plug it in to the right power socket. And for the sinner to get the power of God into their soul, you have to believe on Jesus Christ. You have to, as it were, plug your heart, your desires, your guilt, your future, your everything into the divine power socket of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So faith in Christ is what? It is the power of God to save your soul. Secondly, and lastly, faith in Christ offers you the righteousness of God. Faith in Christ offers you the righteousness of God. And that's what verse 17 then teaches us. It's not the only thing it teaches us, but it's what we're going to see this evening. Verse 17 says, "For therein," that is, in the gospel of Christ, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Therein is the righteousness. What is righteousness? What is righteousness? It's a good question to ask. Well, a very easy and a simple way of understanding what righteousness is this. Righteousness is always thinking what is right. It is always desiring what is right. It is always speaking what is right. It is always doing what is right. Have you always done, felt, thought, desired what is right, spoken what is right? You haven't. I haven't. We haven't. You are not righteous. I am not righteous. And the Bible declares that in Romans 3 and verse 10. It says it very clearly if you would just turn a page or two over and see Romans 3 and verse 10, what it says. It says, there is none righteous, no, not one. So just to rule out any exceptions you might think. Oh, but that's a very good man, or that's a very holy man, you might have an idea. And yet God declares this because he sees the soul and the heart, he knows the past and he knows the future of that person, and he can declare there is none righteous, no, not one. And that includes you, and that includes me, by nature, by birth, as we are, as we're born as sinners, none righteous, not one. We lack righteousness. It's what we lack. It's because we lack righteousness, we sin. And we sin because we lack righteousness. We're born unrighteous. Have you ever, you who are parents, have you ever taught your children to lie, to steal, to be mean, to hit? Have you ever taught your children to do those things? Well, you'd be a strange parent if you had. But parents don't. Parents want their children to be helpful, to be kind, to be honest. And yet it's in the children. Because we're born in unrighteousness. It's in our very soul. It's in our very nature. And we lack righteousness. We've all proved that we lack righteousness because we've broken the moral law of God. If you know the Ten Commandments, the first four are all about our relationship to God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, the world is full of false religions and false ideas about the true God. The second commandment is that we're not to worship God in any other way than he commands. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, no statues, no images, no ideas of God, except that he himself has revealed in his word. You know, a holy God is the only one who knows how to worship a holy God. Therefore, we should listen to what our holy God says, lest we offend a holy God. And we have, and therefore we've sinned against him in that way. We could go through the whole of the Ten Commandments and even see our relationship to our fellow man and woman and boy and girl and see that we have lied, we have hated, we have lusted, we have coveted to have something that's not ours. No, we're all criminals. Because we've all committed moral crimes. We're all immoral criminals even. And because God is a righteous God, he is a righteous judge of all the earth. And all sin will be punished. You imagine now you have a judge in the law courts in Calgary here. And there comes before him a serial offender who's done terrible things to other people. But this serial offender has just transferred $20,000 into the judge's bank account. The judge says, "Now I see nothing wrong with this man, I'll let him go." No, injustice, you'd say. That is disgraceful. Not only get that judge sacked from his job, but put him in the dock. Let him be put into prison. Why? Why would you say that? Because you know instinctively, you know in your heart of heart that wickedness must be punished. But we're sinful, and this is what we say as well, but we don't want our wickedness to be punished. Yeah, punish him, he's bad, look at that person over there, but never ourselves. We flee from punishment because we're unrighteous. And that's what God must do with all unrepentant criminals. He must punish them. Because he is righteous and holy. He must. He must speak the truth because he cannot lie, because he is a holy God and he's holy and he must punish sin. And that was Martin's problem. Remember Martin the monk from the introduction? That was Martin's problem. He knew that he was unrighteous. He knew that he was sinful. And try as he may, and man, oh man, this Martin Luther, he tried. He tried not to have bad thoughts. He tried not to let bad words slip out of his mouth. He tried all things. He tried rituals and all restrictions of all sorts. He knew he was unrighteous. But he wanted and desired to have forgiveness with God. He knew that he needed the righteousness of Christ. He understood that if God had forgiven him all his sins, that the slate would be wiped clean. That it would be a new start between him and God. Because God had forgiven him. And it's a personal thing between you and God through Christ. So whatever you do, however much money you give away, whatever things you might do, and whichever buildings you go into to pray or to kneel or wherever like that, it's got absolutely nothing to do with this. You need God personally to forgive you personally through the person of Jesus Christ. But how could Martin, how can you be forgiven of all your sins? How can you be found righteous in God's sight? How? Well, the answer to this is at the end of verse 17. It says there, the just shall live by faith. That means the righteous ones shall live by faith, by having faith. And when we say the righteous ones, understand that what it means is that the forgiven ones shall live because of their faith. And by believing on the gospel of Jesus Christ, by believing on the gospel as it is in the Bible, you will be forgiven of all your sins, of your past sins, and you might have some terrible ones in the past, of your sins today, and of all your sins in the future will be forgiven. And if you are forgiven of all your sins, you know what that means? It means that God declares you to be righteous. Because God has taken away all your sin and put it on the cross of Christ. And he's taken that righteousness of Christ and given it to you. He can declare you to be righteous because, for both reasons. Having taken away all the cause of grief between you and God. Having taken away all those things that would cause God to call you unrighteous. And then giving you a perfect righteousness in its place. So from being unrighteous to becoming righteous in God's sight. And that means the holy judge of all the earth can look upon you and that there is peace between you and him. That there's peace in your soul and you will no longer have to fear eternal death and eternal damnation. Because here is the promise that there is life and eternal life. For the just shall live by faith. There is a new life now, but there's a new and eternal life in and with Jesus Christ. And therefore the Bible says, the just shall live by faith, and by faith in the gospel. In the gospel that's offered to you this evening, you will receive forgiveness from God. And so that is my plea to you. Is to turn from the sin and to turn to Christ. To put faith in him and only him. Because putting faith in him means that there's forgiveness for your sin and you'll be found to be righteous in God's sight. Trust in Jesus, turn from your sin and find new life in him. Verses 16 and 17 say, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, that is the non-Jew, everybody else. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. May the Lord bless his word and his gospel to the salvation of your soul, even tonight. Let us pray. Lord, we give thee thanks and praise that thy gospel has gone forth. Lord, we thank thee that we who are unrighteous and are full of unrighteousnesses, full of sins and iniquity and self-righteousness, which is an unrighteousness, that we can, by faith in Jesus Christ, lose all our sins and lose all of our unrighteousness and gain forgiveness and gain righteousness and gain peace and gain eternal life. Oh Lord, what hope there is to be found in forgiveness in the gospel. Lord, may it please thee to take that word of thine and to apply it into the hearts and souls and minds of all who are listening, that they will be caused to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. O Lord, please help those, even those Martin Luther's amongst us, who desire to be forgiven of all their sins and do so many things. Lord, let them see that these things are worthless, but they need the worth of Christ. They need him. Bless thy word and the going forth thereof. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to thank you for joining us for this online gospel outreach this evening on the Wednesday night, the third night of the five nights in the Lord's will. And if you have any questions, by all means, please do get in touch with us via the website, calgaryfpc.ca. You may email me directly, pastor@calgaryfpc.ca. And I look forward to hearing from you, and even your requests for a Bible. Send your name and address, and we will send you a copy of the scriptures. I'd like to now, as we finish, ask the children to come, sorry, the gospel outreach singers to come and to sing the first verse again of the selfsame song that they sang for us to close. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord save your never dying soul, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Blood applied.